Good evening.
Good evening.
Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to come here, Lord, to study it week after week in different ways, Lord, in different books, God, at different times. We thank you, Father, that you continually give us insight as to what you expect from us. God, how we are to conduct ourselves before you. So tonight as we look into the text, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us, speak to each one of us specifically. God, that we would take from this life of Lot, Lord, the things that you would have us take today. Lord, that we would hear with the intent of doing. And we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Decisions, decisions. We're going to be looking at the life of Lot a little bit. You guys studied Genesis 13 and 19, I believe. And what we're going to look at specifically this evening is the idea of making decisions. And we're going to look specifically at how Lot did it. It's kind of a common topic because we make decisions all the time. I mean, when you came in here, you decided where you were going to sit. You know, I mean, from the most arbitrary to the most specific things, big things, little things. We make decisions oftentimes like blinking and breathing. We don't even think about it. You know, we get up in the morning, we decide to get up. You know, there's all sorts of things that we do to the point where it's pretty much the construct of our day is based on one succession of deciding and deciding and deciding. We decide things about conversations that we have as somebody's discussing something with us and we're having an exchange. We decide how we're going to respond. We decide about things that we're going to purchase or not purchase. We decide about what food we're going to eat and what food we're not going to eat. Our schedule for the day. What kind of things am I going to do today? What do I have time for? What won't I have time for? Our entertainment choices, the things that we watch and listen to and partake in that way. And it's just a constant part of what we do. Sometimes those decisions that we make have enormous ramifications on them. They're, you know, not just a matter of should I get out of bed this morning. There are questions about jobs. There are questions about our medical condition or decisions we have to make regarding that. There are decisions about the relationships that we're in, whether they be our friendships or our marriages. And these types of decisions have long-standing consequences. But have you ever made a decision in your life where you were confident that it was the right thing to do? Everything made sense, that this was the right decision to make. It was the obvious choice. It made absolute and perfect sense to choose this one particular thing, person, instance, whatever. And then you had it blow up in your face. And you were kind of shocked at the idea, like, wait a minute, it made perfect sense to make this decision. I think that's always an inherent risk with making big decisions, is the risk in them. That's what makes them big decisions. There's a lot riding on it. Sometimes it's our family's livelihood. Sometimes it's our health. Sometimes it could be our safety, our emotional state, our, you know, social standing or whatever. There's a lot riding on it, and it causes us to consider them more. That's what we look at in the text that we've studied this week, is that we read an account of a huge decision that was made in the life of a man named Lot. It was one decision that we're going to look at tonight that had long-reaching and far-reaching consequences and ramifications. We, as you've been studying through the book of Genesis, you've seen that Lot and his uncle Abram, they had just left Egypt right before chapter 13 where you are. They went south from there to an area that was with Bethel to their west and Ai to their east. This was a familiar place for Abram because it was one of the first places that he stopped when he had left Haran, where he had set up a temple or an altar, excuse me, to the Lord, and told us as much in Genesis chapter 12 verse 8. And then Lot and his uncle had become quite wealthy in this time. And as a result, this was becoming a problem. It was becoming a problem because the scripture that you read told you that the land was not able to sustain both of their wealths. Not only were the men that kept their flocks, they were not only were they bickering back and forth over what was available, they were not only fighting over the sustenance, there was an issue of the current tenants. You were told in Genesis 13 that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were still there. So there's this tremendous draw on this land, and a decision needed to be made. They were at a point where they had to make a choice. And then chapter 13, verse 8, Uncle Abram presents the solution. If you look in chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, it says this of Genesis. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Simple decision. Left or right. You go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. It oftentimes, I think, when we have bigger decisions, it seems like, man, the answer should be so simple. Stay or go. Yes or no. Do or don't. It's not that complicated. Left or right. But again, we have to consider that there are tremendous things that are bearing on any single decision that we make. In verse 5, you learned a lot about the fact that Lot had flocks, he had herds, and he had tents. He was rich, just like his uncle. And there was a great deal of people that would be dependent on the decision that he was about to make, left or right. Because it wasn't just about him, it was about the innumerable, possible hundreds to thousands of people that were dependent on his choice. Because the people that kept his flocks had their families. He had his families and so on and so on and so on. They all needed food. They all needed shelter. They all needed water. They all had needs. And here was Lot, faced with a choice. Left or right? Which way are you going? They would need to be fed, the flocks would. The flocks would need to be watered. Obviously, this was a huge issue because this is the one thing that God shows us became the problem, where the flocks, the men keeping the flocks, began to battle over this. So it was a huge decision that was faced, or that Lot was faced with as he came to this place. And I think that we are all, at one time or another, faced with these types of monumental decisions. Some of us right now, even tonight, may be faced with monumental decisions. Decisions like, what am I going to do about my house? Where am I going to live? What's going to go on as far as, because the way things have panned out with the market decisions and so on and so forth. What about my job? What am I going to do about a job? I need income. I need sustenance. And it's hard to find one. What am I going to do about my marriage? Maybe my marriage isn't where it's supposed to be and I need to make a decision about what it is that I'm going to do. Huge decisions. Decisions that can't be approached flippantly. And on, each one of us have faced different ones. I've faced decisions about job changes. I've faced decisions about my children and different things like that. What do you do? And you cannot take these decisions lightly. When they come, we can't underestimate their importance. We can't just look at them as the moment. I'll make the decision right now. We have to understand there's so much at stake. We need to realize the possible repercussions of not handling the decision and not doing it properly. And this is going to be our goal this evening as we look at this text. We're going to look at one decision. We're going to look at how it was made. We're going to look at the subsequent effects that it had on the life of the one who made it and those that were affected by it. And again, how specifically that applies to us. And in doing so, hopefully, the prayer is that we will learn specific things to do when we are faced with decision making, and as a result, gain insight as what to do instead of what we've seen. Lot faced a huge decision. His decision involved one family drama. We saw that in verse 8, where it said, Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." Family drama. I think every one of us has been there with different parents, different kids, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. My goodness. So we can relate to family drama. Part of his decision was wrapped around family drama. He said, we're kinsmen. We're brethren. Let's not have any strife between us. The second thing that we see that his decision was based on was a move. He had to move. In verse 9 it said, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. He had to move. And he had to figure out what he was going to do. Again, a very relatable circumstance to us. A contemporary circumstance. Family drama and a move. So, what did he do? What did he choose to do? We see in verses 10 and 11, it says that Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, and like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. These two verses here give us the insight into Lot's decision-making process. Two things it said, and the two things that we're going to look at specifically, is first it said Lot lifted his eyes and he saw all the plain of the Jordan. Secondly, in verse 11 it says Lot chose what? For himself. First, he lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan. We know that from what we've studied about Lot and in the book of Genesis here, that again, he had much to consider. He had an incredible amount to provide for. So in consideration of all of these things that he had to provide for that we mentioned with the flocks and all of that, he looked around and he spotted the plain of Jordan. And he saw, as the scriptures tell us, that it was well watered. That matter of fact, the scripture goes so far as to tell us that it was like the garden of the Lord, or like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. So this would, in fact, sustain him in all his possessions quite well, by all appearances. It had water. It was preferable. It was a sound decision by any account. I mean, if we're considering where we're going to move, what we're going to do, we start thinking about the things that we need. How many children do I have to put in a bedroom? How many, you know, where do I work in relationship? How much is it going to cost me in gas to go from point A to point B? Do I have to drive up and down the hill? We consider all of these things. This is what Lot is doing. He says, well, I've got all this stuff I need to sustain. I need somewhere with cities, and I need somewhere with water, and that place looks good. It was a consideration, it was a sound consideration, and it wasn't a lofty standard. It was seemingly not a rash or unreasonable decision. It made perfect sense. Oftentimes when we make our decisions, they appear this way. We have a need, and then we search for the most sensible and logical conclusion. The best solution. And sometimes when we go into that, if we're not careful, we can come across it in this way. We can take the stance that because it's so ideal of a situation, it's got to be God. It's got to be a God thing. God has opened the door. Because all the other options are fraught with difficulty. They're shrouded too much with the unknown. There's too much uncertainty. Sometimes it might take much longer than we're willing to take. But this other option, man, that's the one. It's got to be God. How many times have you heard yourself or somebody else saying, well, God wouldn't want me to go fill in the blank. God wouldn't want me to be in a relationship like this. God wouldn't want me to be in a house that small. God wouldn't want me to live that far from my work. God wouldn't want me, so on and so on. So this thing that's more convenient and more immediately available must be from God. It must be. The plain of Jordan was watered plenty. It must have been from God. Sometimes those things that we think about when we look at the fact that, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what's going to happen here. But I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It starts to build up this fear and uncertainty in us. It's fear-inducing. And then that gives us the opportunity to wax spiritual. Well, now I'm becoming fearful of this situation, so I definitely can't be from God, because in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that couldn't possibly be the right decision. But again, we're talking about the way Lot has made his decision. He spotted the plain of the Jordan. It was convenient. It was readily available. It was right there before him. So sometimes when we get in those similar situations, we think, obviously God has opened a door, bro. I've heard people that are in difficult marriages and they'll say, well, you know what? Yeah, we're not getting along, da, da, da. But you know what? God brought me this other person. What? Well, because this person is so much nicer and they recognize how well I comb my hair and how nicely I dress. Are you kidding me? You're still married, correct? Well, yeah, but... No. Yeah, but they're acting like this, 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 and this. But you're... Oh, but it's got to be God because this is far more pleasant. No. But see, that's how we can distort things when we start to think of convenience in our decision making. When we want to filter out difficulty because we couldn't possibly attribute difficulty in trial and struggle with what God might be doing. No way. But that's that weird mindset we get in when we start thinking about difficult decisions. Quickest, easiest, nicest, most pleasant. The plain of the Jordan was well watered. Man, God even tells us in the scriptures that it was like the Garden of Eden. That's saying something. So this wasn't just some really nice moist land. No. This was like the Garden of Eden. It was the perfect place. He says, got to be God. It's got God written all over it. Why would you not take the obvious route when making such a big decision? I'm sure you already have seen, as you've studied through your book, the problem here. Lot lifted his eyes and he saw the plain of Jordan. But you know what? Lot did not lift his eyes high enough. He hit a ceiling. He hit a ceiling of his current reality. He hit the ceiling of what he knew and was feeling in the moment. He lifted his eyes and he stopped. He did not continue to lift his eyes and draw his attention as high as he should have. He stopped short. He was distracted in all of his considerations. He did not lift his eyes to the Lord. We don't do that sometimes. I know I don't. Maybe I'm the only one confessing my sin here. But it happens. Because life gets tough. It gets stressful. It gets anxious. It gets depressing. It gets sad. It gets aggravating. It gets angering. Angering. Angrifying. It gets maddening. And we get hung up on that. I'm making a decision and I keep hitting my temper. I keep hitting my sadness, my depression, my uncertainty, my fear, and I cannot get my eyes high enough to see the Lord and make the right decision. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. When you're faced with this enormous decision, and we see nowhere in the text that Lot sought the Lord before coming to his conclusion, this was mistake number one. Again, have you been there? Have you made that mistake? Why is it that we would not seek, especially as believers, why is it that we would not seek the Lord on major decisions? And that's not even to mention the little ones. I believe a lot of the reason is fear. A lot of the reason is that fear of the unknown. It could be also that we are hasty. We need to make a decision now. A lot of times it's because we're seeking that self-assurance to satisfy the unknowns that are kind of freaking us out, to clarify the uncertainties, to seek some sort of personal comfort or satisfy a personal desire. All of these things can be lacked up, or can be summed up as one thing, a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust in God. It's a lack of trust in God. It's a lack of trust in the promises that He's assured us of. Because we will have a tendency to go with what we can see, the plain of the Jordan, before we go with what we cannot, which is the future or the results of a decision. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." But where will He direct my path? I don't know where He's going to take me. What if I don't like that house that He wants to give me? What if it's too small? What if it's too big? What if it's so big that I can't afford the air conditioning? What if it's so small that I can't turn around without bumping into the bathroom toilet? What if, what am I going to do? I can't, what job is He going to bring me? Because I need to make this amount of money because I got a boat to pay for. And I got things to do. And I can't afford to not have. Is He going to make me drive up and down that hill? I don't want to drive up and down the hill. Are you kidding me? I did that for a gazillion years. I don't want to do that again. What is it going to be? What if God makes me? I've heard this. What if God makes me reconcile with this spouse? I don't want to. What if I have to go back to this relationship? Because what if they don't want to do what it is that God expects of them? Because you know I'm going to do it. God will direct my paths. Well, where is He going to take me? It's frightening. There's so many questions that come to our minds, and we always want the answers right now. God, You tell me where I'm going, I'll go. I'm a man of faith. God, I'll go wherever You tell me to. As long as You tell me exactly how to get there, when I'll arrive, how long I'll be there, what I'll be eating, what everybody else will be wearing, and when I'm going to leave. Then I'll go, because I'm a man of faith. We often don't want to know without knowing exactly what's going to happen, even if it is God telling us to move. Because we can get in those places where we have no trust in God. No trust. Even though we know, and even though we will acknowledge, even giving chapter and verse biblical truth to the promises, we will still not trust God. We'll be able to spout it off. Oh yeah, the Bible says and this, and I believe that. Well, okay. But what good does it do you? You're not trusting it. You're not living it. When we get into a place where we acknowledge things such as this, Psalm 18 verses 28 through 30, it says, For You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by You I can run, this is cool stuff, by You I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. We can know these things. We can believe them because it's in here. But do we trust Him? Even though we know that God is a perfect and proven shield worthy of complete trust, even though we know that from what's written here, maybe it's just the old comic collector in my head, but yes, I used to collect comics. But anyways, when you look at it, God can make us a superhero. He said, I can run against a troop, and by my God, I can leap over walls. My God can make me a superhero. He can bring this supernatural emotional stability, this supernatural strength to withstand a troop, to leap me over these walls that are in my way that I can't see past, that are stressing me out. And even though we know all these things, we will still struggle to trust Him with our decisions, no matter how great and no matter how small, because of fear, because of doubt, because of the tangible evidence, the things that we can touch. Yeah, I know God can make me a superhero. I can jump over walls and leap sky buildings or whatever it is. But I got bills that are due. Yeah, I know that God can make me come up against a troop and I can come out victorious, but my husband still hates me. Or we're still not together. Or whatever the situation. Yeah, I know, man. I know what God can do. But the reality, the things that I can touch, the things that I can lift up, the things that I bump into every single day, tell me otherwise. And those are the things I believe. And it's unfortunate. We must trust what God's word says is true and that it is true and that it's pertinent. Lot did not. And that was his first mistake. His second mistake, it said in verse 11 that he chose for himself. It says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Lot went again with the obvious choice. He went with what met the need. He went with what seemed right. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 that says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right, makes perfect sense. By all accounts and all estimations, this is absolutely the right thing to do. But its end is the way of death. Have you ever considered what it takes for you to qualify something as seeming right? What kind of standard do we set for ourselves when we say, okay, this, that thing, that's right? According to what? Or that decision, that direction, that choice, it's the right one. According to what? Some of the things that we'll say is, well, I know in my heart that it's the right thing to do. Ugh, I cringe every time I hear that. Know in my heart, man. Pastor, I just know in my heart. Well, in my opinion, it's the right thing to do. You hear that a lot.